Welcome to your weekly Salem History Moment. This program is brought to you by your local Salem Historic Landmarks Commission and focuses on the people, places, and events in Salem's past. This is Kimberly Fitzgerald. On April 5th, we celebrated our 7th annual Qing Ming Festival. Qing Ming is an annual celebration, sort of like our Memorial Day, where we honor the Chinese who have lived and worked in our community. This year, Salem's mayor, Julie Hoy, read the Qing Ming Proclamation and swept the Chinese community funerary table at Pioneer Cemetery. And she also shared her connection of a relative of hers to Helen Ng Mun Tain, who's born here in Salem. Helen's grave marker is one of four matching family stones that stand in a neat row not too far from the Chinese funerary table. Helen's father had come to Salem from China in 1879, and he became a hop farmer. Helen Ng Mun Tain was born on this hop ranch not too far away from Salem Pioneer Cemetery on April 28, 1906. Her father, Ng Lung Chung, rented the property from E.M. Croyson, and Helen attended Salem schools through the ninth grade until they moved to Washington. Helen went to China twice with her father, first in 1922 when she was 16, and again in 1928. Helen worked as a stenographer for several years, first for the Oregon State Department of Agriculture in Salem, and then she became the first woman employee of the Oregon-Washington-Montana District 1 of the Public Roads Administration, which is the precursor to today's Federal Highway Administration. After World War II broke out, Helen decided to join the Civil Air Patrol in Salem, where she served for about a year. In 1942, the idea of women in the military was brand new. While Helen continued to work and she served in the Civil Air Patrol, the Women's Army Auxiliary Corps was being founded, also known as WAC. WAC was the first women's corps to serve within the U.S. Army. However, prior to World War II, over 20,000 women assisted the Continental Army during the American Revolution, acting as camp followers, spies, nurses, and some dressing as men to participate in combat. Women also served in the Civil War in the same way. During World War I, switchboard operators, who were known as Hello Girls, were members of the Army Signal Corps, but they were considered civilian contract employees and not members of the Army. Representative Edith Norse Rogers of Massachusetts wanted to change that, and she had first introduced a bill on May 28th in 1941 that provided for the U.S. Army Auxiliary Unit, allowing women to serve in the Army as switchboard operators, mechanics, postal clerks, drivers, typists, medical personnel, and other non-combat roles. Rogers, who witnessed the unequal status of women in World War I, vowed that if American women served in the Army in World War II, they would do so with the same rights and benefits as men. This landmark legislation marked a major shift in the United States military's inclusion of women, aiming to provide the Army with critical support needed to fight in a global war. And by the end of 1944, after this legislation had passed and WAC had been officially established, Helen decided to enlist in the Women's Army Corps. An article in the December 31, 1944 Capital Journal shared the news that she was taking basic training at the WAC Training Center in Des Moines. Women like Helen soon found themselves contributing to the war effort in groundbreaking ways. The Army was the only branch of the military that allowed women to go overseas for duty. And this is what Helen did. An article published in the Capital Journal on May 31, 1945, shared the news that Helen had been promoted to corporal and was now stationed in Manila. In both the Oregon Statesman and the April 3, 1945 Capital Journal, portions of a letter written by Helen to her mother about her service were published. I'll read a little bit of that for you today. Helen wrote, "Here we are in the Philippines. We left Hollandia, Dutch New Guinea, early one morning, made several stops for refueling, and spent one night at Layette, arriving here about mid-morning, the day after we left New Guinea. This was once a magnificent city, with very modern buildings and beautiful boulevards. Everything breathed of freedom. Freedom of space, freedom of thought, freedom of culture and creed. Now the physical aspect is one of complete destruction. We are comparatively close to the front, but conditions are under control here. Armed guards and military police are constantly on patrol through the city. For present, we are billeted at the ruins of what was once a Jesuit college. It is quite a large building with several wings. The many schools will be rebuilt, and the boulevards, botanical gardens, parks, and quays will be restored to a beauty equal to that before the Japanese came. The ruins, which were once the latest in modern architecture, will be reconstructed and the city restored to its former beauty. Helen was soon transferred. She got a promotion, and she was transferred to Nanking, China, where she served with General George Marshall as part of his staff, as his secretary, and she was the only woman in General Marshall's office. The Women's Armed Services Act passed in 1948, which granted women permanent status in all branches of the armed forces. And by the end of that year, hundreds of women had begun training as full-fledged members of the Army, solidifying their place in the military and marking a historic shift in gender roles within the national defense. The Women's Army Auxiliary Corps was an official branch of the U.S. Army from 1943 to 1978, and more than 150,000 American women served in the Corps during World War II and did their job so well and so uncomplainingly that no less an authority on proper soldiering than General Douglas MacArthur repeatedly characterized the WACs as my best soldiers. Helen continued to serve, and she officially retired from the U.S. Army in 1964 as a Chief Warrant Officer 3 after more than 20 years of service. Just to give a little perspective on how unique achieving that rank was, according to the Warrant Officer Historical Foundation, by 1968, there were only 23 female warrant officers in the whole U.S. Army. To learn more about Helen's life and service and to see a picture of her, you can read Kylie Pine's article about Helen at WillametteHeritageCenter.org. Thanks for joining us for a Salem History Moment. For more information about Salem's Historic Landmarks Commission and our Historic Preservation Program, please visit cityofsalem.net.